Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, I can tell you I'm not our favorite mom when my children had ear infections and I had to put eardrops in their ears and wrestle them to the floor. But I was a favorite mom when I'm holding a warm cloth, you know, on their ear. Ear infections are such a pervasive problem. And here to talk to us about what is the latest and what pediatricians are recommending when it comes to children's ear infections is my guest, Dr. Naveen Mehrotra. He's a pediatrician in private practice and a spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics. Dr. Mehrotra, let's just start with what ear infections are and how do kids get them, and they get so many of them.
Oh, sure. This is, I think, one of the most common problems that we deal with, Melanie, and it's great to be talking to everybody about that. I guess you can say it's in a crude way, it's our bread and butter, but it's a diagnosis that is feared by most parents. Most of the visits that come in with panic attacks in the eyes, the parents are like, oh, I just want to make sure that my kid doesn't have an ear infection. Hey, yes, ear infections can be detrimental to the child if they're not treated. They can cause a lot of discomfort, but I don't think that we should panic. And that's one of the main points I try to get across to the families that come in with the kids with that terrified look. Just make sure. And as a mom, as you have dealt with it, yes, it's, you know, quite discomforting throughout the night when the kid is crying, but really not a reason to run to the emergency room or panic. And that's what I would like to start off with. So what sets up for an ear infection is typically, you know, kids get a cold, you know, that sort of the drainage doesn't happen properly through the eustachian tubes. The fluid backs up, it collects, and eventually gets infected. And once that infection happens, the pressure that builds up, the potential for complications that are there are what make the diagnosis of an ear infection something that we have to go ahead and treat and manage appropriately. And the American Academy of Pediatrics has come out with, you know, guidelines, a set of guidelines that first were implemented back in 2004 and then revised again in 2013 in terms of how the management of ear infections should take place. And I think that's where we need to make sure that parents understand the reasoning behind what we're doing and how we are approaching the ear infections.
So let's start with then, as parents come to you, the first thing they want to know is, you know, as you said, it doesn't happen very often, but they want to know if their child could lose their hearing if their ear infection is not treated rapidly. And the American Academy of Pediatrics has some recommendations. But as you and I discussed a little bit off the air, watching and waiting is every parent's worst nightmare, because we just don't, I mean, we're worried. What do you want us to know about that watching and waiting and that risk of losing your hearing when these ear infections are all too common?
Right. So it's a bit of a lot of different things that parents don't want to watch. One of them is just the practical thing about, you know, both of the parents are working. They want to make sure that we give them the magic pill so that their child is better, you know, the next morning. But sometimes that is not the best route to take, because just treating a child with antibiotics is not needed when you don't have an ear infection. So the first thing that the pediatrician has to do is to identify if really this is an ear infection that needs treatment. And there are, you know, you look at the acute onset of symptoms, you know, what the symptoms are like. You look at what's called middle ear effusion, meaning how much fluid there is. And if there's really a sign of what we call acute middle ear inflammation. So if all those three things are there, then we go ahead and treat the child with antibiotics. Now, the recommendation is to try and see if it doesn't meet all of those criteria. It could be viral. It could be just fluid collection or a middle ear effusion. And we can wait and we can see in 48 hours if the child is improving or is the child getting worse. And a lot of us will go ahead and ask the parents to come back. And they say, well, I think it looks like it might be the start of an ear infection. Let's wait and watch. But that is the critical piece where I think parents feel that, hey, if the ear infection is starting, I have to get to work. Or, oh, my God, the ear infection is going to just explode and get crazy on me. And, you know, the child's going to lose my hearing. I need the antibiotic right away. But the recommendation is to sit there and wait for about 48 hours. And then if the infection gets worse, or if the infection actually manifests where we think it's bacterial in nature, we go ahead and prescribe antibiotics. Now, even with the antibiotics, we have to, there's a series of grades of antibiotics that we use and the dosing that's used. So what is it that we start off as the first line? If the child fails that and doesn't improve in about 48 to 72 hours, then we go to the second line. So there is an algorithmic approach to first identifying that there is an ear infection, a true ear infection. Secondly is how do we make the child comfortable and how do we treat the infection? And thirdly is, are we making sure that we're avoiding complications and that the child is not getting worse? So just by putting the child on antibiotics, there also needs to be follow-up because the antibiotics may not work.
This time of year, it's hard to avoid getting sick, whether it's a common cold or the stomach bug. It's crucial to stay well hydrated. Hydrolyte is a great-tasting clinical hydration product that contains the correct balance of sodium, glucose, and water to rapidly replace fluids and electrolytes. Hydrolyte comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade, and is available as a pre-mixed drink, a powder, or effervescent tablets that you can simply drop into a glass or a bottle of water. Compared to sports drinks, Hydrolyte delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. Hydrolyte solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydrolyte in the digestive aisle at Rite Aid or online at Amazon.com. Visit Hydrolyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. That's Hydrolyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid.
Dr. Mehrotra, so parents aren't always thrilled about that watch and wait, but it does make sense as we don't want to overuse antibiotics. What about eardrops, as I mentioned before? Are those antibiotic in nature? What are those intended to do versus systemic antibiotics like amoxicillin, which is commonly prescribed? What's the difference between those two, and why would you choose one over the other?
So if the child has an outer ear infection as opposed to an inner ear infection, we can go ahead and use, what we is commonly known as swimmer's ear. That's where antibiotic eardrops would be beneficial and would be the mainstay of treatment. If it's an inner ear infection, that is when oral antibiotics are used. Now, there are eardrops that are a combination of anesthetic plus an antibiotic. So what that does is it deadens the pain, plus it treats the outer ear infection. So that is a drop that we would go ahead and use maybe in the summertime when the kids are swimming a lot. Now, the eardrops, there might be just that are anesthetic alone, which then will deaden the pain, because when a child has an ear infection, it can be quite painful and quite uncomfortable for that kid. So we also go ahead and prescribe just anti-inflammatory medication like ibuprofen or acetaminophen, which then may relieve the symptoms along with the antibiotics. So I think one of the common mistakes that we see, especially kids who are going out to urgent care and maybe seeing doctors who are not pediatricians and may not have the appropriate treatment strategy, they might just go ahead and prescribe the antibiotic to the parent and say, here, give this to your kid. And they don't really take care of the symptoms, because it does take 48 to 72 hours for the antibiotic to start to work. In that time frame is when you may need those eardrops or some sort of pain management, which would make the child more comfortable.
Tell us about pain management. As I said in my intro, I used to take a cloth, put some water on it, put it in the microwave, make it a little bit warm, and lay that on my child's ear, you know, and, oh, my son just loved that, and it made him feel so much better. Not so much with my daughter, you know, but he had a very higher pain threshold. I mean, his ear could be bleeding, and he wouldn't tell me he had an ear infection. But those warm cloths felt really good. What else can we do?
So those are what we call, I guess, a holistic approach, alternative therapies that you can go ahead and use in conjunction with, quote-unquote, allopathic treatment, right? So putting a warm towel by the ear, you know, some people have used warm oils in the ear, just trying to give some comfort to the baby, to the child, really helps a lot. So soothing that kid until the antibiotics work. So that is where, you know, anti-inflammatories would work well as well, and maybe those eardrops. But eardrops are not the easiest thing, as you know, as a parent, to instill into the ears, because those kids are thrashing around. They're already in pain as it is. And when you start to put those eardrops in, initially they may feel very uncomfortable. So you have to go ahead and figure out what works the best for your child and give that in addition to the antibiotic until the antibiotics work.
What else can we do? Like you mentioned swimmer's ear. I once heard, I think it was a pediatrician, say you can mix a little vinegar with water and put that in the ear before they swim, that might help reduce that swimmer's ear. What else do you want us to know about ear infections, Dr. Marotra? And I mean, ways we can possibly try and prevent them.
Well, what we know is that ear infections are very common in kids who are not breastfed. There's much higher incidence of kids who are in daycare, because what ends up happening is kids transmit germs to each other. Kids who are not breastfed may not have such a higher immunity as they would if they were breastfed. These kids tend to catch these colds. These colds are what you're trying to prevent, because as these colds are there, they definitely stop the eustachian tube from draining properly. And as I explained, that's what sets them up for an ear infection. So parents will ask, oh, are ear infections contagious? Usually not. It's the cold that is that is leading up to the ear infection is what's contagious. And that is what you're trying to avoid. So if your kid has a cold and, you know, you're putting them into daycare, they are going to be much more prone to having inner ear infections or middle ear infections. So this is how you can prevent it. Make sure when the kid has a cold, you try to go ahead and treat the cold by maybe, you know, giving them steam, cleaning their nose out with some saline nose drops, putting humidifiers so that the tubes can keep on draining. Now, sometimes no matter what you do, nothing works, and the child does get those ear infections. The thing is to catch it in a fair amount of time and go ahead and treat them, because if you don't treat them, there are lots of complications that can happen. The things that we worry about are definitely when the membrane perforates. So if the ear infection, the pus builds up and the pressure builds up, it can cause that tympanic membrane to rupture, and that then needs closer follow-up. It can definitely lead to chronic what we call effusion, meaning that the fluid stays collected, so it impacts the hearing of the child and even can be a cause for speech delay in toddlers. Then you also worry about acute mastoiditis, meaning infection around the ear infection, which can become quite serious. So yes, we need to be worried about those ear infections, because you want to make sure that these complications don't happen. So being proactive, making sure you breastfeed your child, making sure that if you have to put that child into daycare, the daycare has good hand-washing precautions and precautions to make sure that germs don't get spread, and making sure the child has good nutrition.
And, I mean, it's so important. Yeah. And I feel like children get them at some point in their life. And you've really cleared up for us why you pediatricians recommend what you do. And so for parents listening out there, you can definitely, you call your pediatrician, and if they have you watch and wait, just listen to them. You don't want to overdo the antibiotics. That's where we are now in antibiotic stewardship, so it is so important. And try the warm cloth. Some of these things work, and they'll help your child be more comfortable while you're waiting for your pediatrician to tell you what is the next step. So thank you again, Dr. Mehrotra, for coming on with us today. You're listening to Healthy Children, and all of our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. Stay well.